24 hours a day, there's people scouring the world just to get that next story, that next news, the next scoop. Right now, there's a little, it's a soccer game, something going on around the world. There's a few people who are interested in this thing. It's called a World Cup. It's interesting because in America, we keep talking about soccer, and then my kids keep asking me, they're like, why do they keep talking about football and they're playing soccer? And they didn't understand how FIFA is the football, International Football Association. And I was like, well, it's not really football. Football includes pads and, all this little pigskin. And like, that's another game. But it's interesting in these times, every couple of years that we get involved in the world sports, whether it's the Olympics or the World Cup, that we are exposed to other cultures, other ideas, and other places. And I feel for some of these commentators, because there's these names that come across the screen. I don't even know how you would even start to pronounce them. And they just rattle them off like, oh, yes, blah, 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 so-and-so just went by so-and-so. And I'm like, wow, I'm just fascinated by listening to how quickly that the world becomes obsessed. And it's unified together. And then I'm reminded, and it worked out perfect, because today I want to talk about missions. And I want to talk about us going into the world. And it's so important that we see that the world goes beyond, our city, our state, our country. For those of you who have had that privilege, as I have, to travel outside of the United States, it is interesting to know that not everybody thinks, acts, and looks like Americans. Did you guys know that? Well, if you live in America, it's hard to believe, because we assume that everybody acts, looks, and does just what we do. And it doesn't always work that way. I will tell you that McDonald's is pretty universal. A Big Mac in Dubai tastes the same as a Big Mac right here in Newburgh. I don't know how they do that. I guess that frozen horse meat goes all the way around the world. No problem. It's camel. That's right. Over there, it was camel. It tastes just the same. It's that secret sauce. We have an entire world that is waiting for the good news of Jesus Christ. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Acts chapter 1. We'll be beginning with verse 4. To kind of set up where I'm starting at today, if you know the story of Jesus, Jesus came, he lived, and he had a ministry where 12 men walked and followed him, and one day he went to the cross and he died, and his men dispersed, and then he came back, and he called them together, and he shared with them for 40 more days of more about the ministry that he had. And in Acts, we pick up the last conversation that he has with his disciples. So I think it's very important. If you've ever gone on a trip, if you've ever left loved ones, you know how important sometimes those last instructions, those last things that you say to somebody, those are the words that you're like, I want you to remember. If you don't know anything else, I want you to remember this. And these are the words that Jesus leaves with his disciples. So beginning in verse 4, on one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now you may remember back as we went through the different feasts and festivals, the day of Pentecost, the day of celebrating when the Holy Spirit came and moved on the people and empowered the disciples to go out and share the good news of Jesus Christ. It took a man like Peter, who was too scared to even admit to a little girl that he was one of the disciples, and turned him into one of the best preachers and gave one of the best sermons, and saw 3,000 people come to Christ in one day. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what Jesus is telling his disciples. Wait. So then when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? It's a good question. Now, the disciples don't ask a lot of good questions throughout the New Testament. There's a lot of things I'm like, I would have asked about that one. But they asked a good one here. Because they've seen Christ die, come back from the dead, and he's in his glorified body. And they're asking, is this the time? Are you going to establish your kingdom here on earth? And Jesus tells them, it is not for you to know the time or date the Father has set for his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witness in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And I think this is very telling about the heart of Jesus. And it's very telling about us. Because when we talk in this context, Jesus Christ is telling the people, telling his disciples, telling his followers, wait, I'm going to send you power. I'm going to give you a gift. And you're going to use it. If you remember back and you know the story of Jesus, he tells him, his disciples at different times, that I'm going to leave. You'll do greater things than I have done. You will witness into the whole world. And they're kind of throwing it back to him. And it's kind of subtle if you don't see what they're asking. They're asking, okay, so now you're back and you're back in charge, right? They're used to him leading. And I think that we as human beings have that tendency sometimes. When Jesus and when God in our life tells us, here's the Holy Spirit, here's your authority, here's your power, go step out. What do? We turn around and go, okay, so you're going to be in charge? You're going to do everything, right? I mean, I like this for 3 years. We walked around, you took the heat, you answered the questions, the press came in, they did their little pre-op, you know, they took the press position, and you answered all the questions. We just kind of sat in the background. We collected a few fish and loaves for you one time. Other than that, crowd control, keep the children away, beggars, blind men, you know, we had our job. And Jesus is like, you know, I sympathize. And I wonder sometimes how many times in my own life I've asked these kind of questions and God's just like, shake his head. Dude, you don't need to handle it. You don't need to know that. Listen to what I told you. And then he expands. Jesus tells them, when you receive the Holy Spirit, you're going to be my witness to where? Jerusalem, Samaria, and to the whole world. Now, I'm not there. We weren't there. It's not recorded. But if you were there, I can imagine Peter and them turning to one another and thinking, okay, who's going to get those plans together? Who's going to call the booking agent, get us a ship? Where are we going? What are we doing? Do we have an itinerary? Who's going to go ahead of us and do the press? I mean, is this a traveling circus? What are we doing here? And Jesus is like, no. You're just going to go out. Just you guys. Do life. And as you do life, you're going to share about me. Today, I want to talk about missions because a couple of reasons. One is that we have been blessed, that we have been doing missions in different ways here in the tri-state area and throughout the world. And we just coming back from Fusion with a mission trip to Eastern Kentucky, I felt like it was important to share why we do these things. And before we left, I talked about how our faith should be at work, that faith is a belief, but a belief that has action. And we're not the only ones. I failed to mention that the Stewarts, Milton and Marla, just came back from the Lakota Indians out in South Dakota, also doing mission work, doing vacation Bible school with the kids and introducing men and women to Jesus Christ. You see, where the mission takes place isn't from the stage. The mission takes place out here. For those of you who are sitting in those seats, you're the missionaries for New Hope because you're the missionaries for Jesus Christ. put your place inside the group of 12 because that's where you belong. Jesus is telling you, insert your name. I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit because you're going to go and you're going to tell. And where are we to go? Well, Jesus lays out a very simple plan that even the disciples could follow, which is good because that means that we can follow it. He says, go to Jerusalem, Samaria, and then into all the world. Now, very simply put, that means he's talking about the local, the region or community or state, your country, and eventually into the whole world. Now, growing up in church, when missions was discussed, there was always two things that I thought about. Number one, there was a fundraiser. Because that's what missions to the local church seemed to be. And we had a really nice little thermometer display out in our lobby. We would set a goal every Christmas. We were going to send money to missions. So I equated missions with money. The second thing that I grew up understanding missions was about that is that it took place in some foreign country whose name I couldn't pronounce, and that randomly some person would come by in the middle of the summer with those missionary shirts. Has two pockets. I don't know why they had two pockets, but all the missionaries had these four pockets, you know, two on the left, two on the right. And they would talk about countries that I never heard of and cities that I wasn't sure existed on a map. And they would tell about all these things that happened. And I spent most of my youth thinking that was missions. But Jesus is saying, you start right here. You're going to start where you're at. Mission starts locally. It also occurs on a country level, on a national level. There are some beautiful ministries that go on, and we're going to talk about some of the ones that we support later. There are things that go on a national level that are extremely important and make a huge impact for the kingdom of Christ. And there are world missions. And yes, we should go into all the world. One of the reasons why I think it's so important that Americans do financially support as well as physically support and go and do missions is because of the basic principle that Jesus teaches that too much is given, much is expected. And when you're a country that predominantly controls most of the wealth and resources of the world, it is our responsibility to give and go. It's not a guilt trip. Because God doesn't guilt us into doing it. He's like, look, just as we discussed earlier with our tithes and offerings, I bless you so you can bless others. We are the hands and feet of Christ. And as you go through life, locally, regionally, nationally, internationally, give, love, support, and tell them about me. And that's what missions is all about. And you may have heard this before, local, national. I hear some people talk about community, countries, continents. We could describe it and put all kinds of different labels on it. But I want to challenge you because there's a problem with this. And this is the second layer of this that I want you to look at. The direction concerning mission, one of the issues is that Jerusalem... Why Jesus mentioned these specific places? Because I believe it means starting with those who oppose your theology. See, in Jerusalem, they were all Jews. They knew the culture. They knew the language. They did life together. They went to the same stores, the same schools. Up until this time, the same church. But the theology changed. An understanding of truth changed. And that's a challenge. There are people here locally that we totally get. We speak the same language. We have the same culture, go to the same stores, same schools. And so you would think 90% of our life is the same, and then all of a sudden we start to bring up something like, oh, well, I go to church, and it's a church that follows Jesus Christ and the teachings of the Bible, and then all of a sudden the changes and the differences become apparent. And I will speak for myself by saying it is probably the most difficult. It was strangely ironic that it's easier for me to just blatantly tell some stranger in Eastern Kentucky, I stand for Jesus Christ and you need to know him. Much easier than your neighbor. Why is that? I think Jesus knew that. That's why he specifically mentions it. You start where you're at, yes, but you start with those that are most like you. You start where it is perhaps the most difficult. So many times we think, oh, that's the easiest, but it's the most difficult, isn't it? He's telling you, sometimes it's your family. That cousin, that uncle, that aunt, that family member that you grew up with, that knows all of your secrets, knows how you've been your worst in life. That's the one that you need to share Christ with the most. Samaria. Very similar. They were Israelites. They were Jews, sort of, according to Jewish tradition. Not quite. They had a slightly different culture, though. They didn't quite worship the same way. They didn't quite do life the same. Are there those kind of people in your life? Maybe they're a different color. Maybe they're a different race. Maybe they're a different culture background. Maybe they have a hyphenated name or tag associated with them. Italian-American, African-American, Jewish-American. Still American. But maybe we're not comfortable with that. I think Jesus very specifically mentions them because there are so many in our lives that are very similar to us, very close but different, and it makes it a challenge. Yes, it has to do with the region. Yes, it has to do with the country. But it has more to do with those who are somehow identified the same as us but different. Are we willing to do that? Are we willing to cross those lines and cross the barriers? And then to all the world. And that's when you get into all kinds of stuff. People that are completely different. Taller, shorter. Live longer, shorter. They talk different. They speak languages that your mouth just can't pronounce the words. They have cultural innuendos that we don't understand or we offend them because ours are different. There are so many challenges. But we're called to do that. I think it's fascinating. If you've had the chance to go to other countries, you know what I found out? As different as they are, different clothes, different culture, different cars, different restaurants and all that good stuff, I found out that they are pretty much the same. Women still worry about their hair. Men still worry about their looks and how many cars they have or how many camels they have or whatever it is. I got to hang out with some Pushtun, the nomadic tribes that still walk around Afghanistan. And it was fun to hang out with them for a day. And interesting, as the men sat around and we had tea, and they compared how big their tent was and how many camels and sheep they had and how pretty their wife was. It's the same story when I hang out with my buddies here. Oh, well, did you see my new house, my new car? Ooh, did you see John? He got his new TV. Different items, different levels of notoriety, but the same concepts. Hung out at a school, a high school for kids. You know what the high schoolers were worried about? Boys, girls, who liked who, what are you going to do this summer? That's awesome. Because that means that we can all talk the same. Our languages are different. Had the chance to spend the afternoon with a couple from China and a teacher from Kabul. None of us spoke the same language. But we all had pictures, had a photo album. And we started talking about grandmas and grandpas and aunts and uncles and here's my kids. And pretty soon, I can't tell you those words today, but at the end of the day, I was kind of picking up on like, oh, okay, this is Qing Pao Tao Wing Do. And they would be like, and that is Jay Wan. I'm like, yes, that's Jay Wan. So we picked up on these stories with one another because it's all about, I was a parent and I was a dad and I was a son and this is my mom and this is my wife. And I found out that, you know, it's not that scary. Jesus Christ knew that. See, this is the beauty about being the creator. You understand the creation. When you have a God who made us, who shaped us, and according to Psalm, formed us in our mother's womb. He wrote the book, literally. He wrote our DNA to make us who we are. He understands us. I think that's why he mentions this. Yes, on the surface, it's because he wants you to be local and regional and international. But he knew our hang-ups. He knew our challenges to those who were so very like us, but different. And he knew the challenges of those who were so different from us, but just like us. And all in between. He goes, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit, because through the Holy Spirit, you can go and speak to each one of those groups. Well, as an organization, as a group, New Hope Community Church supports missions. And not just by word, but in action. Many of you may know this, but some of you may not. We believe that we should tithe on what God has given us. So how does a church tithe? We take 10% of all of our offerings, all of our gifts, and we set those aside for missions. You may not have known that. I think that that is a really cool thing. When I became pastor here and I found that was one of the things I asked was about missions, and when they told me that was their plan, I was ecstatic because that told me the heart of New Hope. That it's not about just building up this group and this building. It's about reaching out to the community, the country, the continents. And so I want, though, just a moment, Jeff, if you don't mind, if someone you can wrangle somebody to help you, we're going to pass out a little pamphlet. And this pamphlet is a listing of those groups that we support. And so I want to go through those so that you understand. Because we took this to heart. Is when we looked in evaluating which groups we wanted to support, we want to support those who are local, those who are national, those who are international. That's why we support groups like Community Marriage Builders. If you're not familiar with Community Marriage Builders, they are an organization that helps enrich marriages My wife and I have been blessed to have the last 5 years being an educator for them and seeing the impact of communication and skills and education and the relationships that are restored and rebuilt through this ministry. Hope Central is a local food bank, but not just a place where somebody comes in and they kind of just hand you food. They have it set up like a grocery store. So there's some respect and honor that when you come in, you select. You want green beans? Take green beans. You don't put them away. So you don't end up going home with just a bag full of lima beans. Hope Central helps also in other areas with food and with clothing and helping out with mothers with newborn babies, providing health care and directing them to finding resources. New Mission System International is an organization that we support. There's a couple, and because of protecting them, we don't mention their name, but there is a couple that we support that is in the country of Myanmar. If you know anything about that country, it is very close to the gospel, but they are there in the capacity of business. And as they do business and walk life with the locals, they share Christ. Uncharted International is an organization that also is impacting the 10-20 window. The 10-20 window is a measurement north and south of the equator, mostly in the Middle East. If you're not familiar with that term, I encourage you to Google up. I won't go into details, but just let you know that the major population in that area of the world, less than 1% of that is Christian. That's the operating area for Uncharted International. In addition to being there just as missionaries, they also train and support local churches, church leaders. They have different orphanages, and most recently have tackled the issue of indentured sex slaves and trying to rescue them from that horrific lifestyle. Evansville Rescue Mission provides both physical and spiritual assistance to men who, for different circumstances, find themselves without a home and many times without hope. Peers Project is an organization that provides education to middle school and high school children on making wise decisions about sex and drugs and abstinence from them, and also teaching them about peer pressure and social influences and how to live a healthy and loving relationship. Evansville Christian Life Center. I encourage you to look up their website. I can't go into all the details here today, but let me just tell you that they give out thousands of meals every month, thousands upon thousands of pieces of clothing every year. They help through a new program called Circles to get people off of government programs and into the workforce and into being self-sufficient. The whole entire time encouraging them with the message of Jesus Christ, restoring individuals, restoring families, making a difference. Brothers Keepers is an organization that helps men and women who get out of prison who have no place to go. If you have never known anyone who has been incarcerated, one of the most difficult and dangerous times is the time when they are released. Many times they're handed into the society with no help, no support, no place to live, expected to get a job, support their family, pay all their fees, report to all the court dates, all the while doing it with the negative connotation that you are a felon. Brothers Keepers provides a place for them to live, helps with them with employment, helps them to maintain and make sure they make all of their court dates, helps them with budgeting, gets them so that they can have a foothold again and stand proud. Studio B Community Youth Center in Boonville is an organization that helps preschool kids and young kids have a place that's safe to come and learn, to come and explore what it means to be a kid in a safe environment. Right now, during the summertime, they provide thousands of meals. I've had the blessing to meet with Randy, who is the director, and he shared his heart, and to watch him share his heart with the kids and the message with Jesus Christ. Beyond that, New Hope also supports community outreach through the Chandler Elementary Christmas gift program. Every Christmas, we purchase gifts for kids who otherwise may not receive Christmas gifts. Now, this may seem kind of superficial and like, why do we do that? Because we do that in the name of Jesus Christ. So that some of the kids may know that there's a gift greater than the one they just unwrapped. And it comes at Christmas in the form of a baby who came and lived and died for them. New Hope Cookie Ministry. Now, some of you may want to volunteer for that. They eat all the mistakes. Sometimes I think they have more than they should have, but the cookie ministry is an awesome ministry. Now, I wouldn't tell you if you want to get involved in a ministry that impacts hundreds of people, that is a fun way to do it, believe it or not. We provide cookies for different organizations, the Emmaus community and the Walk to Emmaus weekends, spiritual retreats. We for Kairos Prison Ministry, Inside and Out. Is an awesome opportunity. Come hang out. They have a lot of fun. Make cookies. Change people's lives. And then finally, the Lakota Propane Fund. As I mentioned, the Stewarts went just this last 2 weeks out to South Dakota. I wish I had time to have Milton come up and share with you. He was sharing some things this morning. But there's such a need on all of the Indian reservations. Those Native Americans who are kind of trapped in a societal, cultural cycle that doesn't promote self-improvement. And so we are supporting, I know it seems as basic as providing propane so they can heat their home, but as I just read a few weeks ago out of James, does no good to tell somebody, be warm in Christ, and then walk away. So we're not doing that. We're providing them with propane so they can actually heat their home. So that they know that the love of Christ is more than words, it's action. Now, all of these missions and funds, this is not an exclusive list. There are other things that we support. We have a mission tithe fund. And I will mention today that if you ever have a thing that you wanted to support, or maybe a mission or a one-time special event, see myself or one of the elders, and we have a mechanism of how you could actually request funds for that. Because when I tell you to go out and be missionaries, I'm not telling you to go out and be empty-handed. We want to help you. And if it's resources, if it's people, we want you to have those avenues available. And I am excited. Every one of these is because somebody here has participated and worked with one of these missions. That's why we selected them. Because of you. These are your missions. Because you are the missionaries to Newburgh, to Indiana, to the United States, and to all the world. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, just thank you. Thank you that you know us. And you kind of just told us right there from the start. You're going to face people that think differently than you, act differently than you, do life a little different. But in the end, they're all struggling the same, worrying about the same things, and need the same Savior. God, I pray that you would just encourage those who are already active in the community. I pray that you would just work in the hearts of those who may have been thinking about, how can I get involved? God, I just ask that you would just raise up a new generation inside these four walls that will change the world one life at a time. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.